You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill.
Andrew McCart, IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. I'm here with a unified champion himself, Josh Taylor. We're just out in Vegas right now, enjoying the sunshine. We've been shopping today, man. You seem, biggest fight of your career, undisputed world champions. You seem very relaxed, Josh.
I am, Andy. It's a... I can control the controllables, which is I've trained hard, I've done everything that I can do to my best of my ability. So I know I'm the best prepared I can ever be. So I'm chilled out, I've done everything right, I've done everything brilliantly well. So I'm just I'm relaxed and enjoying the ride and taking it as it comes.
Have you thought much about the fight and what it means, not just for you, but obviously the folk back home in Scotland and in the UK in a wider sense, in terms of undisputed world champion? They don't come round that often. You know, we do see world champions, unified world champions, but the undisputed world champion doesn't come round that often. Have you sat back and thought about what you achieving a week on Saturday would mean, not just for you, but for the people back home?
I've had a wee bit of time to think about it, you know, especially once it got announced, like the fight got officially announced a year ago, sit back and go, oh, fuck. This is fucking huge. This is massive. This is a colossal fight, you know, not just for myself, but historically for sport in Scotland and the history being made, the potential of this history to be made in this fight is just, it's huge. You know what I mean? It's the first person in Scotland to be the first four belt undisputed world champion, the first person to do it, be undisputed champion since Ken Buchanan. Unbelievable, and it's a huge piece of history to be made, and for a sport in history and for to go in the history books as one of the greatest fighters in Britain to come out the shores, do you know what I mean? It's massive, aye, it's absolutely huge. So it gets my juices flowing, and I just can't wait to get in the fight there and grab the belts off him.
You've been out in Vegas for 2 weeks now. You're not just here lapping up the sun and enjoying Vegas, man. I've seen the Instagram videos with you and Ben, even with Dan Lawrence over there, your strength and conditioning coach. You've been training at the UFC Institute, top ranked gym and all this rest of it. How are you finding it out here?
Aye, it's brilliant. You know, it's good because we've got the sun. It's feel good factor. You know, I'm obviously this is the sort of taper week. I'm only out here for an hour, just chilling out, getting some sun. But it's the feel good factor of having the sun on your back, nice and warm all the time. The top ranked gym's a real fighter's gym, the historic gym as well, you know, and then you've got the UFC place that we've been going to, the facilities in there, it's just unbelievable, second to none, you know, and so I'm getting my recovery sessions and that in there done as well with the ice baths and the hot baths, the cryotherapy, the infrared beds and, you know, and doing all my S&C and stuff in there and my running and that in there, so I'm getting the best of, access to the best of facilities and I've done everything to the best of my ability and I'm just super confident going into this fight.
We've spoken about this many times that down at Lock End you used to write Josh Taylor future world champion and you talk about a bucket list, making ticks, making new goals, ticking them off at one time. Did you ever think as a young amateur or even as a young boy starting at boxing that you would headline in Las Vegas? You've spoken about the disappointment and the heartache, so to speak, of not having 5,000 Scottish folk over here supporting you and bringing the whole crowd over, but I mean still headlining in Las Vegas, did you ever think that would ever happen?
Truthfully, probably not. You know, I always dreamed of being undisputed world champion and being, you're right, world champion. I always knew it would be world champion. That was my goal, to become world champion. And obviously you dream of these undisputed fights and dream of being involved in these fights, but do you really think it's going to happen to you? Probably not. You know, it didn't become a realistic goal until I started, until the Baranchik fight sort of was coming round about. I knew it was within reach. Do you know what I mean? It was a realistic goal. So that's when I really started gearing towards it. But to be here, if you'd been interviewing me now as a 23, 24 year old, I'd be saying, but do I really think, I would want to do it, but do I really think it was happening? If you really asked me with this, I wouldn't probably believe you in that.
Well, we're here, it's happening. Ramirez, May 22nd, talk to me about Ramirez. He's undefeated, he's a unified champion. like yourself. Now, a lot of people are saying that Regis Progeny was your toughest fight to date, but how do you see this fight? Is Ramirez, being that he is a unified world champion, he is also undefeated like yourself, is he the toughest fight to you in your career so far?
I'll tell you after the fight. It's impossible to tell you now, but he's certainly the toughest opponent on paper. You know what I mean? He's unified world champion, 26-0. I think it's, what was it, 13 or 14 knockouts or something, or 17 knockouts, I think it is. I'm not sure. But he, for sure, is certainly the toughest opponent on paper. He's the most decorated opponent I've had. He's a tough fighter. He comes forward. He wears his opponents down. So I am expecting a tough fight, but I just can't see him beating me. Can't see it at all.
Where do you go from here? I mean, I know you don't like looking past an opponent, but you are confident you are bringing them belts back to Scotland. You are becoming undisputed world champion. Now, do you stick around at 140? Do you go up to 147? But a lot of people call that the money division underneath the heavyweights. So, I mean, the welterweight division has always been that big payday sort of division in terms of the Terence Crawfords, the Errol Spences, the Pacquiao's still hanging around, Keith Thurman's are still there. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Sean Porter's.
The sexy division, how it was called it.
The sexy division. The sexy division. Would you go and add some more sexiness to that division, Josh?
Listen, of course, that's the fights that are, life-changing money and also legacy fights. Do you know what I mean? I've never ever been in the sport for money. I've been in it to achieve what I've achieved. Do you know what I mean? I've never been in it for money, but these fights are massively changing financial fights that will be secure for the rest of my life, and my family. Mm-hmm. You know? So that's another motivation as well. But even non-title fights at that weight is massive fights, because all the names, the pool mm-hmm. of talent that's in that fight, and I believe that I can mix it with the best of them. So why not? But having said that, I'm not in a rush. Mm-hmm. I'm not in a rush to go up there. I'm making 140 quite comfortable, and there's still big fights at 140. But the natural progression would be, you know, obviously, I win this fight. There's not much else proven to do. You know what I mean? I've won all the belts. I've beat everybody that's in front of me. I've beat the number one challengers. I've beat world champions, ex-world champions. I've beat the next coming through pound for pound fighter best it's going to be. I've proved myself time and time over again, so what else do I do? Set new goals and set new targets.
Two weight world champion?
Two weight world champion, yeah, that would be the new goal. That would be the new goal, to get another belt up at the other weight, yeah.
I mean, I'm going to mention it because it has been spoken about, and a lot of people have talked about, is you even said yourself that Crawford's struggled for a dance partner up at 147. Pound for pound, number one in some people's eyes, but maybe even just behind Canelo at this moment in time. I know you like to test yourself against the best. Do you know what I mean? Like you said, 140, you've cleaned it up, you've done it down here. Is there probably a lot of fans probably will say the Regis Progeny rematch is a good fight to stick around at 140? But other than that, why would you stick around? And Crawford is struggling for that dance bar. Who is an elite fighter like yourself?
Obviously, like you said, yeah, Crawford is struggling to get a fight at the minute. If that fight came around, I'd jump at the chance. You know, he was the last person to do all the belts, so undisputed versus undisputed would be a huge fight. Do you know what I mean? So to have that hanging in the balance is massive as well. So it's a huge, huge fight. So I just, whatever comes my way, Andy, yeah? Whatever comes my way.
I want to mention it, like, because I think, like, I know how much of a super fan you are of Manny Pacquiao. Pacquiao, yeah. Yeah, Pacquiao was the man. He's still hovering about. He was talked about him fighting Ryan Garcia not so long ago and stuff like that. So he's still about there. I mean, is it crazy to say that maybe one day Josh Taylor versus Manny Pacquiao? I mean, you named your dog Manny, who's tattooed on your leg there. Yeah. Yep, he's Manny. You love Manny Pacquiao. Is it crazy to say Josh Taylor versus Manny Pacquiao one time in the future?
Could you imagine that? My hero, my, like, growing up, as when I was coming through as a young laddie, me sharing the ring with him in a fight, fucking die right. Do you know what I mean? Like, a superstar legend of the sport, one of the all-time greats. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's not far-fetched.
It's not far-fetched. It could potentially happen, and it's mental. Do I think Pacquiao will fight again? Probably not. He doesn't need to, but unless something really draws him in. Do you know what I mean? And I think, man, that would be brilliant. That would just be amazing, aye. Be class.
It'll be a spectacle, to say the least. Now, I know you're chilling, you're training later on tonight, so I do appreciate, like, 5 minutes of your time here, Josh. Probably 10 minutes, actually. Let me see the clock. Yeah, 10 minutes of your time. But honestly, quick word on last weekend at Billy Joe Saunders. Your coach Ben was in the corner. Horrific eye injury, but I heard that you had the fight very, very close up until that end of the eighth round. How did you see the fight, and was it the right decision for Billy to be called?
I actually had the fight level. And if I was being generous, Billy Joe maybe up one round, but I had the fight level. I thought he won the first round, and then he lost the next few, but then he started coming back into it. You know, I had the fight level, maybe possibly. I did dead even after six, and then I can't remember the last two rounds. But I think I had it level. Maybe if I was being generous to Billy Joe, one up, but it was certainly in the fight. It was a dead level fight, I thought. And I think Billy Joe was starting to get into his rhythm. Maybe I think the first couple of rounds he looked like he was a little bit nervous and a bit tense, but he started relaxing and he started getting into his flow and started catching on with shots and letting his hands go and stuff. And it started warming into the fight. And then obviously he got caught with that shot, which was a peach. And you know, people, I seen it straight away as soon as he got hit. You just seen his face change shape, and we said it in the house here as well. We're like, he's broke his eye there. That's gone, and so we didn't think he would come back out for the next round. And then we seen the live replay, and obviously in slow motion, you literally seen his face changing shape straight away as soon as his punch landed, and it was turned out to be a horrific injury, and Ben called it and properly called it for not to let him go out. He proved himself that he can mix it at the top level. He's proved that he's world class and he belongs up there with your likes of Canelo's. He's a brilliant, brilliant fighter. And I always said that. I was getting a little bit of stick on Twitter for saying that months and months back that Billy Joe Saunders gives Canelo nightmares. And he was starting to come into his fight, and he was proven to be giving Canelo a bit of problems and stuff. He started getting more relaxed and stuff. So he's definitely a brilliant fighter, and he gave a great account of himself, but he just got caught with a monster of a shot. But you've got to give credit where credit's due, because Canelo timed that shot perfectly, and Billy Joe was always going down, dipping down to his left, and he timed him going down and cracked him in the face, and it was a fight-ending punch. But it was a great fight, and Billy Joe should be proud of himself.
Finally, Josh, because my back is on fire. I'm sweating buckets here. Fuck me, I've got a little bit more of a Mediterranean skin than you. Do you know what I mean? I've got a little bit more of that. I must have some sort of like Mediterranean blood in me somewhere down the line. Let me see if I can get
almost caramel-ish.
Check Lee McGregor out there. Look, there's wee Lee McGregor. Look at him. He's basking
like
in it. He does look Mexican.
Pedro sitting over
there. One final word. Have you got a final message for Ramirez and the fans back home?
Not for Ramirez. I'm no interested in what he's got to say. I'd see him on May 22nd and may the best man win. That's it. You know, I hope he's prepared well and comes in good shape, because I know I have. And may the best man win. That's it. To my fans, I'm gutted that none of yous can come over. None of yous can come over. Like, yous have been faithful fans to me, to come over and support me, so I'm a bit gutted about it. I'd have loved nothing more for this fight to have been in normal times, and all the fans to come over and, you know, spend time with all the fans after the fight, like what my friend Carl Frampton did after his fight with all his fans, and met them in the pub after the day after the fight, and it just makes the trip so much more memorable. And it's like, it would be my way of saying thank you for all the support up until this point and supporting me on my journey. So I'm a bit gutted that none of them can be here, but I'm going to deliver one of the best fights in my life and bring the belts back home, and we can come back and do it again. Come back and do it again. So to all the fans that can't be here, I just want to say thank you for all the support up until this point. It really means a lot to me. You make the experiences in these nights so much more memorable for me. And thank you for spending your hard-earned money for to come and watch me over the years and support me and everybody that's given me messages on my social media. I just want to say thank you to every single one of you, and I'll come back with the belts.
George, like I say, I'm sweating buckets here, my back's on fire. I should have put a t-shirt on for this interview, but at least my back's getting a tan. But again, enjoy your training session. I know you're tapering down this week and stuff like that. We're almost here, we're almost fight night. I'm buzzing, as you know. I'm always buzzing when it comes to your fight week, so can't wait for it, champ. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll see you soon.
Cheers, Andy. Cheers, mate.
Thank you, mate.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill, in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.